Soul.
Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network, home of the Firebird Book Awards, the Positive Change Podcast Awards Hall of Fame, and this podcast, Authors on Fire. I am Pat Rullo, and today I have a special author to share with you. She is Ferial English. She lives in a small rural community with her husband and two dogs, and several years ago they moved from their home in Chicago to an old farm in upstate New York. Surrounded by woods and fallow fields, their dogs run free, and she spends most of her time outdoors, planting and tending flowers, growing vegetables, and caring for colonies of honeybees. Over the years, she has jotted down story ideas and stashed them away, thinking that someday she would write and publish a book of her own. Well, the birth of her grandson inspired her to write her first picture book for young children, Charlie and Sophie's Great Escape. We are about to find out more. Welcome to the network, Ferial.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
I'm very excited to have you as well. We always love children's books, too, so they're always fun to talk about. All right, so I'm looking forward to this. You know, there's always a story behind the story. So before we dig into your book, maybe just give us a little backstory. Why did you decide to write this particular book?
So when we moved from Chicago to upstate New York, we had a lot of room here. And after our older dog died, we decided that it was time for us to maybe adopt a couple of puppies. So we had time and the space. I was interested in border collies because they're intelligent. I really wanted for the first time to have a puppy from basically that I could train from the beginning because we've always adopted dogs from shelters. So we went, well, I started volunteering at a border collie rescue close, well, not too close, but nearby. And just to learn about how to train the dogs and how they behave, things like that. And then, luckily, they had two puppies that were turned in by their owners. And because I was volunteering there, I had first dibs on adopting them. Mm-hmm. So we brought Charlie and Sophie home. And they're just sheer zest for life. You know, they're excitement, their curiosity, their energy was just so inspiring for me. Every time I would take them for walks, I would take pictures, little videos, and when I came back, I would just take notes because I knew, you know, just like puppies also don't stay puppies very long. Mm-hmm. I wanted to capture that feeling of just joy. But sadly, Charlie became sick when he was just not even 5 years old, and they couldn't really diagnose what was wrong with him, and we had to let him go. He just 4 months, basically, after his symptoms appeared, because he was just, he stopped eating. It was just awful. And that basically, it just really broke my heart because he had just so much left to give and to share with us and with Sophie, his friend. So then I think it was more just to work through that grief of losing a young dog that I decided I could start putting all my notes together and write about his and her adventures here with us. To just give his life, to record his little life, and to hope that his spirit would continue to live on.
Oh, it's amazing how animals just become so part of your life. I have 13 cats and they found me. I didn't seek them out. In fact, I was really allergic to cats and this mother kept having babies and leaving them on my deck. And miraculously, I didn't have a cat allergy anymore. It went away. So it was a real sign to me that this was meant to be and I was meant to keep these little, I call them people. Mm-hmm. So I understand the feeling and emotion that you had. And it's so lovely that you were able to write this book. You also mentioned something about puppy mills. Did you have experience with that?
So Charlie and Sophie are not related. Sophie came from some way down south and she had her own issues. But Charlie and his brother were bought by an older gentleman from a pet store. And he lived in an apartment, so I don't know what he thought he was going to do with two border collie puppies. Mm-hmm. But fortunately, he saw the light and gave them up to the rescue. But that's what, after having taken him, his problem started with his eyes, and from one to another, and it just kind of snowballed. We took him to specialists, and they couldn't figure out. It was just like his whole body started to shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that it's most probably, because they knew, the rescue person knew that they had come from a puppy mill via a pet store.
Mm-hmm.
And just the way they are bred, they just are bred for looks.
Mm-hmm.
And so they said they couldn't do much about, they just didn't even know what was wrong, and they couldn't treat it.
Mm-hmm.
Because they didn't know.
Sure.
And so that was what they kind of thought. So, you know, that was the sad part. I mean, it was a beautiful little life, and there was just nothing we could do.
Right.
Because they don't screen, right, for genetic issues or anything like that. They just breed them.
Exactly.
So.
It's a horrible, horrible process. And hopefully, just through this conversation today, if we can guide people to understand, you know, that little hashtag, adopt, don't shop. There's a real
That's what I use.
Yeah, there's a real purpose for that. I mean, I know it's so tempting when you go into a pet store and see these little puppies and thinking that, oh, I'm going to rescue this dog from the pet store, but really what you're doing is perpetuating the problem, really are promoting more and more puppy mills. So if everybody understood that and did not shop and buy a dog from a pet store and go adopt, these puppy mills would have no other recourse other than shut down and find something else to do.
Yeah, I mean, it's just heartbreaking, especially now, even with all the just the storms and things down south, and then they'll find these just mills with these female dogs just stuck in cages.
Yeah.
And these are so intelligent. These dogs have so much to give. And, we won't go into this, but human beings do some awful things to other humans and to animals. And it's just sad. It's all just to make money. But I did donate my launch day sale proceeds to Glen Highland Border Collie Rescue and Sanctuary, because it's a Lily Goodrich. She moved from upstate New York to Virginia because she decided to focus on rescuing and rehoming senior border collies. Mm. Because many times when dogs get old and they get medical conditions that are too expensive, owners sometimes pick them up to shelters or whatever, and they're not going to be adopted if they're sick and they're old.
Right.
So she does take them in, and if they're able to be taken, fixed up enough, then she will adopt them out. But if not, then she keeps them in her sanctuary until they pass.
Oh.
It's a beautiful thing that she moved from upstate New York to Virginia so they wouldn't have to deal with our very, very cold, long winter.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just people are amazing too. I mean, they do some pretty marvelous things.
Absolutely. Oh, it's so lovely to find that there's people that do that. And I saw that as well, that you say publishing with a purpose. And so part of the proceeds. Yeah, I think that's so important. Part of the proceeds went to that rescue. And, you know, that's putting your money where your mouth is. You know, it's not just giving lip service to something. You're doing all you can to make sure that these animals are safe. So thank you for that. I mean, it's a beautiful thing you've done. Really, really. All right, my friend. Well, now I guess we should take a peek into your book. We've been around the bush here a few times. Let's talk about your book. Give us a little peek into the storyline.
So this is something, because we were training them to be off leash, and they're very, very intelligent. But puppies, just like kids, are impulsive, full of energy. And so it had been just raining for a few days, and they were raring to go. They had to go out. And so we took them, you know, I took them, started to go on a walk with them, and they basically heard something, and they took off into the woods. Now, these were not woods that they weren't familiar with. We'd been in there, but still, they hadn't been there without somebody around. So they took off, and in the book, they explore using their senses, like dogs do, hearing and especially their sense of smell. But then, and it's all fun and games until Charlie disturbs a nest of goose eggs, and they get chased by a very angry mama goose. And they manage to escape, and they realize they're lost, and they have to basically use their senses and work together to find their way. And we have a beaver pond on our property, and there are Canadian geese, Canada geese, that migrate and back and forth. And this is where they stop. So they have been fascinated by all these geese. And I was always afraid that they would get too close. So I just made that part up where they actually get attacked.
Oh, that's so good to write what you know, right?
Yep.
Absolutely. And then the cover and an illustrator. You have an illustrator from Italy, I think I found out,
yes.
Right? Yeah.
So I was looking, because this book was meant to be, in a way, a memorial, and she is a traditional watercolor artist, so I was happy to find her.
Yes, it brings your book to life.
Yes, definitely.
Why do you feel that so many authors feel compelled to write about dogs or write about their dogs?
Well, I really think that the bond between human beings and dogs is very, very old. And dogs evolved with human society. So there's a way, it's just amazing to think that it's a completely different species, and yet we are able to communicate with them very well, I think, you know. Just thinking of a sheep herder able to communicate with their dog from way across the fields. So there is something, there's a bond and a relationship that's old. And most people have had pets, you know, cats or dogs or whatever. So I think they're also able to relate. So it's a very relatable topic. Writing about our own experiences with a dog. The other thing I think is that dogs just don't live very as long as we do, so we are able to experience the whole arc of life if we own a dog. And that adds a little bit, I think, to the to being brave enough to adopt and to open yourself up to loving a creature or somebody that you know will not be there for long. And they don't speak, but they are there for you. They're companions. So I think human beings or people will open up completely, open their hearts and their lives to their dog more genuinely, I think, than even a close relationship with another human being. I feel that we still keep a core that's private for ourselves, but we open ourselves up completely to our dog.
Okay.
So,
yeah, that's very interesting. So you're thinking that there is a difference between the bond with our dogs or our pets and our friends and our human companionships.
Because there's always that fear that you'll be judged whether they say something or not. No matter how close you are, you know, you're not exactly, they're not your clones. Mm-hmm. So there is something that you always, I think, hold back a little bit as a private human being. Mm-hmm. Whereas a dog doesn't speak, they don't judge, they're open, their love is completely unconditional if you take care of them even a little bit. And they're very forgiving, I think, which is amazing to me that a dog that's been abused can still find in itself the capacity to try to trust a human being that's been kind to them, mm-hmm. and to reach out again to form some, unless they've been so abused that they are broken completely. So these are things that I think, pull out the best in a person that really wants to care for for a dog or a cat, because they respond to you, to your overtures of friendship, of understanding, of giving, and they receive. And that, I think, alone is a huge gift.
Mm-hmm.
I think that relationship, that closeness with some being of another species, makes it that we don't understand, but we love and we want to write about that.
Just that feeling that you want to share that with others. I know that pets have a shorter lifespan, but just the way you said that, you know, that we are there for the entire arc of their lives, that does play a different part than it would with a relationship with a human.
So going in, because as you get older, you know, because a dog can live from 12 to 15 years. So if you're older, say, you know, in your 70s and you've always been a dog person, you have to really think, you know. Should I adopt another dog? So I'm thinking when Sophie goes, I might just maybe adopt an older dog so that we can share something, but I won't feel too guilty that what happens if I go and this dog is left, you know, uncared for. So these are things that one should, a responsible pet owner should really think about before just going and buying a puppy.
Absolutely. That is so true. I've thought of that on so many occasions where people approach me with little kittens. And as much as I would like to have a little kitten, I can think, all right, the cat's going to live 20 years. I may not.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, if I ever do, which I don't think I'm going to because I have enough, but if I ever did, I would definitely pick a much older cat so that I would be sure that they would not outlive me. And that's another really strong point today that I hope people take away, not just to get a pet because they're cute and they're fun. Think this through, and who's going to be able to look out for them if you're not here? So you've brought up a lot of really strong issues today. Adopt, don't shop, and don't buy a young pet if you're an old person. So,
but these are living creatures. Yeah, they live, so it's a responsibility when you go and you think about adopting an animal. Think about the whole years, the many years, because that's why they end up in shelters, because they get boring. They're no fun anymore.
Yep.
They're given up.
And even the financial side of it, too, especially think that eventually they're going to need veterinary help or medical help.
Mm-hmm.
And do you have the resources to take care of them properly? As you said, people have older, sick pets and they just give them up. It's like, whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully you wouldn't do that with a human.
Never know. but it's true. And food, I mean, dog food, unless you make it for them from scratch, even that's time consuming and expensive, but all these dog foods are going up in price too. So there are just many, many, it's a responsibility. It's something not to be taken lightly.
Right.
You need to think about it because it is a living being.
Absolutely.
And you are bringing it into your home. So are you ready to nurture it and take care of it?
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing this. This is so, so important. So what's next for you? Any new books on the horizon?
Oh, yes. So now this one has been published and it's out in the world. So I'm doing marketing, trying to get it. Because I was thinking a book is just so many scribbles on a piece of paper. It only comes alive when it's read or read out loud, because then it takes form. So that's what I'm doing now, is going into classrooms and libraries and reading the book to kids. But I've also started writing my next book.
Mm-hmm.
And it's different. It does not have to do with puppies. but just a lot of ideas. So it's fun. Just the whole new thing now for me is to start writing stories for kids.
Well, we look forward to whatever you write. How's that?
Thank you.
Yes, absolutely.
It's fun. It's a great, great thing to, and it's an art, so of course it takes a lot of mental capacity to
absolutely.
Focus and to sit down and learn how to write and edit and revise. It's a There's
quite a learning curve. Well, if you would then share any and all contact information so folks can find out where they can get copies of the book and find out more about you.
Okay. Well, so I have a website, which is www.fairyowlsbooks.com. I also have an Instagram account at Fairy Owls English. I'm also on Facebook, Fairy Owls English, and you'll be able to find me there. The book is available on Amazon, Charlie and Sophie's Great Escape. And also, it's on the online catalogs of most of the retailers like Barnes & Noble and other bookstores. You can order it online through their catalogs as well.
All righty. Well, we are speaking with Fairyal English. The book is titled Charlie and Sophie's Great Escape. We learned quite a bit today, and there's more to find out on our website, fairyalsbooks.com. Thank you. Thank you for a really, really important discussion today. I think besides and in addition to your book, I think you've given listeners a whole lot to think about. And I so appreciate having this opportunity to talk with you and look forward to whatever's coming next.
Thank you very, very much. I appreciate it.